Everybody okay? Let me do a few things before we get started. Number one, for a good number of years now, my wife has revered a man in here and has had for years talked about how much she loved him and she thought the world of him. And a few weeks ago, he got in touch with me and said, "Hey, I want you to come eat lunch with two guys." I was like, "Uh-oh, I don't know what that means. I don't know what kind of setup that was, you know." And turns out it was Brother Dennis and Bro Skeeter. And turns out it was a phenomenal time of really just a stirring of the Lord. That's all I know how to say it. We had a great lunch up here at Denny's, only the best. And then we came back down here and Skeeter sang a little bit for us and it was just a great time. And so, Brother Doc, thank you for introducing me and helping me make new friends, brother. And we love you, and my wife dearly loves you. The other two, I've only known Brother Dennis and Brother Skeeter for a little while, but I'm from a little town called Doyleen. Don't hold it against me now. I probably should have saved that to the end. I probably shouldn't have told you that up front, but I'm from a little town called Doyleen, and all I've ever known is just just living pretty simple, you know. And I'm not saying these guys are simple in that way, like mine did, but man, I already love them, and it's been a great time of getting to know these guys, and I want to. I know you know it, but I just want to say it in your house. Man, the Lord has blessed this place with some leaders, hasn't He? Amen. Amen. I got one more thing I got to ask, and this is just going to be a real quick conversation between me and somebody, and then we'll get to it. Brother Don Roark, long time ago, you had the motorcycle place on right beside the tracks. Now it's a heating and air place, maybe? I think. Maybe not. You had a motorcycle in there called a Confederate Hellcat, I think. Did you sell it or did you keep it? Sold it? Man, I've loved that motorcycle since he showed it to me. I don't know how long ago that was, brother. Long time ago. And in fact, I went after I saw that motorcycle, I went and got me a motorcycle. And I don't have one now, but I always itch for it. And I've wanted for years to know what happened to that motorcycle. And now that we're cleared up, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 is where we're going to be. I tell you what, since you don't know me very well, you can ask me, here we go, I'll give you a little bit of time here, you can ask me any question you want to ask. Ready? Go. What's my name? My name is Aaron Watson. Now, it's kind of weird, I say it Aaron, most people say, well, that's because you're from Doyleen, that's why you say it all weird like that. But my mom and daddy call everybody else Aaron, with the same spelling, but they name me different. They call me Aaron. And so you can call me whatever you want to call me. I'll answer to it. It's fine. But if I sound a little strange, that's why. Because my name's a little strange. But yes, ma'am. Aaron, just like the Bible. That's what they named me after. I guess they said, it's in the Bible. It's got to sound weird if it's in the Bible, right? Any others? Yes, sir. I'm not kin to Doc Watson. Are we talking the one that's like elementary, my dear Watson? or another Doc Watson. Most people are tend to lean towards Sherlock Holmes. You know, Elementary, my dear Watson. Oh, okay. But I know there's a couple of folks here in town that are doctors that happen to name Watson. So I'm not kidding either one of them. So no, there's three sets of Watsons in Doyleen. None of us can. Figure that one out. That's a yes, sir. Great question, bro. Great question. 2 weeks ago, I turned 38. I'm a geezer, dude. Usually, what's funny is usually when it's youth or kids that I do this with, the first thing they ask is, "Do you know you're bald? Or when did you start going bald?" And I have to answer that. And so if you want to know, I'll go ahead and tell you. When I was in the eighth grade, the guy sitting behind me leans up and says, "Hey, man, you got something in your hair." And so he says, "It's still there." And so he gets up and looks. He goes, "Dude, you got gray hair." And I had a lot of gray hair in the eighth grade. And so that night, I went home and shaved my head. And I've been shaving my head since the eighth grade. And that's not even close to being a joke, brother. That is the flat-out truth. All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 4. Let's go down to verse number 17. In verse 17, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So we're going to talk about repentance. Now, obviously, what happens is first, when you come to church, great. Somebody telling me you better get right or get left, or you better turn or burn. It's something like that. And the truth is sometimes that's the case. But what I'd like to do tonight is try to figure out. It always seems like Jesus was saying something a little deeper than what he was really saying. It always seems like he would say something and we would read it and go, "Oh, that's good." But then when you dive a little deeper, it seems to have a little more meat to it or a little more teeth, and it starts to grab a hold of you and change you. And so hopefully, here's something else. You know, that would be a goal for tonight. Jesus accused the Pharisees, or what he said to the Pharisees, he threw a woe on them. He says, "Woe is you, because you heap all these burdens on people and you don't help them out. You don't lift a finger to help them." Well, hopefully tonight we'll find some help in Scripture to lift some of this burden off of us. Here we go. I'll tell you what, how about we go backwards through the passage? Ready? It says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But let's go backwards. Let's start with the kingdom, okay? Let's start with what is the kingdom of heaven? It seems to be pretty important because Jesus says it a bunch. In fact, there's a part we're going to get to here in a little bit where there's a chapter in Matthew where he just hammers it. The kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like. Well, so what is the kingdom of heaven? The word kingdom is actually, it's a combo word. It's two words kind of put together. King and dumb. Now, king, we got that. Dumb is actually shortened for, it's actually dominion, or the domain. The king's domain. So if we're talking about a kingdom, we're talking about the place where the king either is, or how about mainly this, where whatever the king says goes. It's his domain, it's his place, he has the final word, he gets to make the rules. Most of you probably grew up this way. A phrase I heard a lot in my home, in my parents' home, let me make that clear, was, "You ain't gonna do that in my house. You can go find you another place to do it, but if you're gonna live here under this roof, that ain't happening." And I'd get all mad, like, "Yeah, I'm going somewhere else then." And then it would hit me like, "Ain't nobody gonna take me." And not only that, if they did, it would be family, and they would give me the same rules that mom and dad did. But my dad, because it was his domain, my mom and dad got to make all the rules. And a lot of times it was I didn't like them, or I didn't want to follow them. And then sometimes they would do things, and they would have rules that were great. I was a little bit of a strange kid, still am, but I was then too. But there were a lot of times where I didn't want to go stay the night at somebody's house, but they would ask me. And I had this agreement between me and my parents that if I ever came up to them bug-eyed and asked them if I could stay at somebody's house, that meant the answer was no, Mom. Do not let me. You say no, you say no, you say no. They had this rule that I could live by, and it was a protection for me. When we talk about the king's domain, most people just lean heavy on the don'ts. All this stuff that God would say don't do. Well, the truth is this. There are a lot of things about the kingdom. Man, they're good. They are benefits for us. They are things that God has set aside that allow us to live a life that is, well, he would call it actual life. He would say life and life more abundant. I've come to give you that. Okay. Well, somebody's got to make the rules, right? Right now, I'm teaching my son some things that he can't. He's three, or he's about to be three in about 2 weeks. And I'm having to tell him over and over, you ain't going to pitch a fit like that. You get up, or I'm going to spank you. And half the time, I'm fighting back laughing because I think it's hilarious. I'm like, and I have to ask his mama, like, you got to go in the next room because she's laughing. And like, I'm trying to set some rules down here. I'm trying to establish our dominion here in our domain. And it's strange. It's a strange deal. But when I think about God's kingdom, I think, well, yeah, of course he's going to have some rules for us to live by, some things, some principles for us to live by. I love the idea of thinking this. There is a place, there is a kingdom where whatever Jesus says goes. Let's chew on it just for a second. Let's chew on the things that would come against us as believers. Let's think about the things that the world would throw at us, or that our enemy would throw at us, that would make it look as if there's no way out. That would make it look as if we're doomed. That would make it look as if we're never going to be able to throw off this weight that easily entangles us. And you ever walked in a place and it just not felt right? And sometimes we stay and end up getting in trouble. And we knew as soon as we got there we shouldn't have been there. Well, for us as believers, the Bible would say that we're sojourners here. We're aliens. We're walking through this world, and it's not our home. But if we're here, Jesus says this: hey, the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. There's a place where you're at that my rules take over. Now that sounds strange because we're talking about two different places, and yet what we see Jesus saying is actually they're overlapping. I've come to bring a place here and a principle and a way of living here to you that my way goes. And you can live by my way and my principles while you're living here in this place that would come against you. Oof. So, what does this mean for the citizens of the kingdom, right? What does this mean when it comes to the citizens of this kingdom? I think Jesus had a good bit to say about it. So let's turn to that Matthew 13 real quick. Flip over just a few pages. And we won't read the whole thing, but we're gonna hit a couple of these just so you can see that he keeps saying it. He keeps making a point about the kingdom, and I think it's something important. So he tells the first parable, the parable of the sower. If you have little titles above the paragraphs, you'll see the parable of the sower, and then the purpose of the parables, and then he He explains the parables. And then if you get down to verse 24, let's just start with that one. Verse 24, he said, he put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in this field. Then he tells a parable about a man sowing good seed. So he says, the kingdom of heaven is like this, or can be compared to. And then in verse 31, he put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. In verse 33, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. He keeps going. And let's pick up in, let's go with 44. In fact, let's just take that parable and look at it and see what it may mean. Okay? The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, here's what I'd like to say for a second. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and talk about it. We're not going to skip this part because I think it's cool. Ready? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Usually when we read that, something we think is this. Yes, treasure, salvation. And once we have found salvation, we would sell everything to have that treasure. And it sounds like, oh yeah, that sounds almost right. Until you start comparing the other parables, and you may see a little deeper into what Jesus was saying about the kingdom. If you look in the other parables about the sower and the that explained and things like that, what you find is the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Well, the field is compared to, in the other ones, the field is the world. Okay? Which a man found. By the way, the man in the other parables is not us. You know who it is? It's Jesus. So we have hidden in the world, which Jesus found and he covered up. By the way, if you read the Old Testament, that's what that sacrificial system was. It was just a covering for our sin until then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has. The Bible says that he left everything in heaven and he buys that field and he comes to earth and purchases us as believers. See, when we put on kingdom goggles, things look a little different. When we are able to see the kingdom, all of a sudden some things that would be kind of, oh yeah, I know what that means, and that means this. Well, all of a sudden we're able to see everything through the kingdom, and whoa, that looks different. I'm gonna skip a little bit because I think this is. Has anybody ever seen the movie Matrix? The Matrix. How many of you have seen that movie? Okay, so relatively a good number of you. Let me bring you up to speed real quick. Here's what happens. There's a guy, and what he is exposed to is this. That the life that he is living is not real. That his brain has been plugged into by these machines. And in his mind is being played this computer program, and that's what he's seen his whole life as. But a guy named Morpheus hands him a pill and says, if you take this, you'll wake up and you'll actually get to see real life. And so he takes it, and he is awakened to a world that he never knew existed. He's able to go back into what's called the Matrix and live a little bit while he's in the Matrix. But what you find out in the movie is he gets to live by different rules because he knows that this world isn't real. And so he begins to walk and jump and do things in a way that he knows this. He is just in this world. He's not of this world. He's of another world. Here's what I want you to hear about the kingdom. The kingdom, if we're citizens of it, we live by the principles of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, while we're walking through the world. So think about these things. There are rules of the kingdom that Jesus kind of put out, like we get to speak blessing over people. Think of Jesus reaching out and touching a leper. What did they believe about what would happen to Jesus? What did the society believe would happen to Jesus if he touched a leper? That he would get leprosy. And Jesus said, ain't that how the kingdom works? I bring life. And so when I touch the leper, the leper's healed. I was listening to a guy preach the other day, and he said this. He said he was having a conversation with a woman that her and her family were moving to a part of Africa where there was everybody had AIDS. She said while she was there visiting the first time, she got so nervous because they had a brand new baby, and all these ladies and people that had AIDS wanted to hold her baby. And she said, I was so nervous until God said, hey, that ain't how the kingdom works. You're coming to preach my kingdom being near. You need to see that you may hand your baby over to somebody and they get healed. Life may come to them and disease may fall off of them because of the kingdom. That's a different way of seeing things. We usually live in fear and wonder. And God would say, or you can just live by the principles of the kingdom and walk in power, which is tough. It's tough to get past because all this other stuff in front of our eyes. So let's hit the other part, and then we're going to be done, which is the first part. Repent. Ugh. That's a tough one. So what does it mean to repent? Usually the one we hear all the time is it's the 180-degree change, right? We're walking this way, and to repent would mean that we have to turn and walk the other way. Well, you know, somebody who chooses to follow Buddha, you know they do that? They choose to walk a completely opposite direction than they formerly walked. So are they repenting? I don't think they're repenting the way that Jesus said it. So what's going on? What's different about what Jesus is saying than somebody let's take another one. Who would decide, I'm going to convert to Islam. And so it means that my life has to change and follow those principles. And so I'll repent and turn that way and begin to walk that way. I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about. In fact, I'm not real sure why we've only believed that this is something that can be done in our own power. I think we've believed a lie on that. Growing up, I was taught that the gifts of the Spirit had ceased. I was taught that being filled with the Spirit, you don't get no more Spirit than when you got saved. And all that crazy mess has gone away. And the truth is God repented me of that. I used to be walking that way, like, oh, that stuff is all gone. Let me tell you this, I don't walk that way anymore. I've seen people healed. I've heard things that I can't explain. Let me show you one example of repentance in the New Testament. Do you remember when Peter was able to say, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God? You remember that? And Jesus said, whoa, blessed are you, Simon Peter, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has. And on this rock, I'm going to build my church. On this revelation, knowledge, I'm going to build my church. You know what's funny? Right after that, it's like over and over we see Peter just being an idiot. Just doing some dumb stuff. Trying to set up tents so they can worship people that ain't Jesus. Saying things like, they'll never come and get you. Calm down, boy. There's another one, too. He ends up denying Jesus. You remember that one, right? So what happened to him? To where all of a sudden, one day he stands up and he begins to proclaim things, and all of a sudden everybody is just flocking to get saved. What happened? What happened that he would run, and then another day He's standing up, and I'm not saying just like, hey guys, if you want to follow Jesus, we'll tell you like back here where nobody can hear. He's the one that y'all killed. He's offering you salvation. He's a completely different person. That's repentance. The word repent in the original language here is it's kind of weird. It's a word that's metanoia is what it is. You know what metamorphosis is? What little thing do we think about when we hear metamorphosis? A butterfly, right? The word morphosis, or to morph, means to change. So if a caterpillar went into the cocoon and he come out looking like a real good looking caterpillar, that's a morphosis. He changed. But a metamorphosis is a complete change. He goes in a caterpillar, he comes out a butterfly. Something completely different. When we transfer this over to the word metanoia, there's a complete changing. The word noio comes from the word gnosis, which we get know, knowledge, to think. So a metanoio is a complete change of the way we're able to process information. A complete change of our minds to where we think one way, and all of a sudden, without really being able to put our finger on why, we're able to think a completely different way. We're able to see a completely different way. We're able to look at people and see the kingdom of heaven at hand and love them. Let's move on. Have you ever been with dinner to somebody? I want to make sure we're clear on the way we think part. But have you ever been to dinner with somebody and you're I'm talking about conversation's good, everything's great, y'all are laughing. Ha ha ha. Oh, I love you, I miss you. It's so good to see you. Let's do this again sometime. You go out and get in the car and you look up in the mirror and you've had something stuck in your teeth the whole time. Has that ever happened? Are we all okay? That's something that's happened before? And you think back, that whole conversation, they were just staring at that thing in my teeth. Didn't say anything about it. And I don't know if you're like this, but it almost taints the whole conversation in my mind. Where I'm like, man, it wasn't really that fun now. If I knew that he was just staring at that lettuce in my teeth. You see how something fickle like that can change our mind? Sometimes you'll put on a shirt and you think, man, I'm looking good. You go out the house and you'll walk by a window and look over and see yourself and go, why didn't anybody tell me I look like this? Man, you go from thinking, I'm okay, everything's great, to all of a sudden, I'm depressed. Why didn't y'all tell me I was bald, you know? That's a tough one. That's not the kind of mind change we're talking about. We're not talking about some fickle little, oh, I see something and oof, I changed my mind on that. I get onto my bride all the time. I've never known anyone to change their mind as much as my wife does. It's unbelievable. Where you want to go eat? I want to go to Southfield Grill. Okay, let's go. Before we get in the car, you want to go to Strong's? Like, no, you said Southfield Grill. I want to go to Southfield Grill now. Oh, okay. Well, okay, we'll go to Strong's. On our way to Strong's, let's just go to Grub Burger. It's right here. Only thing I wanted was them pancakes now from Strong's. That's not what kind of mind change we're talking about. That's not the type of mind change that we're talking about. I'm going to say something here. It's going to be tough. Please stay with me, okay? I'm gonna kind of word it like Jesus, I think, would. I can't believe I just pinned this on Jesus. Here we go. The kingdom of heaven is like a dirty diaper. Okay? I got a 3-year-old and a 4-month-old. So this is real tender to my heart right now. What do we do when a baby dirties a diaper? What do? We change it. And then what does the baby do? They do it again. They change it. They change the diaper, and then we changed it, and then they change it. and then we change it, and then they change it, and it's over and over. And it's even worse when it's happening while you're changing it. You know what's funny? That's the way that most of us live this Christian walk. We'll change some of these habits that we have only to go right back to it. And, oh, you're right. You're right, Jesus. I'm going to change it. I'm going to change it. You're right. You're right. Let me do that one more time. What am I doing? Now, here's what's funny. Do we think that this is repentance? This right here? I'm going to go back to it? No. I'm not going to do that. But that's the 180 turn every time. That ain't what Jesus was talking about. In a baby, what's the day we all look for? I'm going to tell you, I remember the day that my three-year-old ran in and said, "Dad, I got to go potty." Come on, man. We took off running. We sit him down. He didn't do anything, but we were celebrating. Like, yes, he's beginning to get it. We celebrate when a child all of a sudden becomes potty trained. Why? Because metanoia has happened. A change, a true change has happened. It's like, wait. Why didn't they get it before this? It's uncomfortable when this happens. You get a baby that's got a wet diaper, and they're so uncomfortable. And you change them, and you'd think you'd be able to say, "Hey, don't do that anymore," or "Just tell us, and we'll go, and you'll be fine." But they can't. Until one day, all of a sudden, they can. And metanoia happens. Actually, what the Bible would say is repentance happens. The way that they're able to process that information changes. Okay. We're almost done. You do me a favor? Everybody grab hands like this. Your own hand. Grab your own hand like this. Okay, here's what I need you to do. Will you arm wrestle yourself real quick and tell me who wins? Who won? You did. Who lost? You did. When we do any changing on our own like that, like this, I got to make some changes. I'm gonna, and then we turn back to it. And then we change again. Any change that's done on our own is just like arm wrestling yourself. Yeah, you may win sometimes. Guess what? You're gonna lose exactly the same amount. And the Bible would actually say our righteousness, our own changes that we make, you know what they're like to God? You remember that? Filthy rags. He would say, "Oh, that's great. You did that on yourself, on your own. I can't do anything with that. That's all you. But if you'll listen to me, if you will allow me to speak repentance into your heart, then change." That's the type of change I'm looking for. And it will change you from the inside to where all of a sudden the way that you see things is different. The way that you're able to see things is different. Repentance is when we receive and understand that there is a higher level of operating. There is a way that's better. There's a kingdom where life and life more abundant is freely given to those who believe. So how do we repent? Let's go quick. Ready? 2 Timothy 2:22 through 26 ends up saying this right at the end of verse 26. It says, "And maybe, Lord, you will grant them repentance, and they'll come to their senses." And it's talking about when we begin to live by the principles of the kingdom, that people look at the way we've been living and God grants them repentance, just like he granted us repentance. Just like he granted us the ability to understand that the way we lived before is not how we're to live in the future. I want to give you one thing. Let's just think about. Here's a principle of the kingdom that I think is that me and my wife have begun to do, And it's real weird. You know when you go to a restaurant and your server is just angry? Okay? They're upset, and it's the worst service ever. I got to be honest with you. That gets under my skin like none other. Well, a few years ago, God was dealing with my heart on the principles of the kingdom. And this simple thing came into my mind, and I was like, Lord, please don't let that be you. And the more I prayed, it was. And so we've implemented what we think is a kingdom principle when it comes to servers who give us bad service. We tip them more. We give them, when our service is bad, it almost is like comical to us because me and my wife are looking at each other like, we're fixing to have to do it. We're fixing to have to give this person more money than we would normally give as a tip. Because we believe that we're to bless those who curse us. That's a principle of the kingdom. And I could be like the world and say, you ain't come back to fill up my drink once. You ain't getting nothing. You have been so mean this whole time. You don't deserve my tip. We don't want to get into deserving, right? We don't want to start talking about what we deserve and what they deserve. We don't want to do that. So we need to start living by the principles of the kingdom. I'm not saying y'all got to do that. I'm saying that's what the Lord has put on our heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What I want you to hear is repentance comes from God. It's not something that we can do on our own. It strictly comes from him. He grants us repentance and the ability to understand and know the principles of the kingdom, and we live by the principles of the kingdom. So let's do this. I think it would be horrible, or it would be just flat out ridiculous, if we didn't then ask him now to speak to us and to tell us what he wants from us when it comes to repentance. I don't want to venture a guess as to who the oldest person in here and who the youngest person is in here. But I would stretch this far as to say, I would hope that the oldest person in here doesn't think, man, I've pedaled real hard to get to the top of this hill. I'm just going to coast it out the rest of my life. You may think that, but I would ask you to do this. Would you ask God to tell you what he wants you to repent about? Which, by the way, when he says it, Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So when he says it, he's giving you everything you need by saying it. So the youngest in here to the oldest in here, can we do this? Can we ask the Lord to speak to our heart and then listen for just a minute and see what he says? It's gonna be kind of strange, maybe kind of quiet. But what if we heard God granting us repentance about something in our life? Or maybe you're in here and you've never heard God calling you into a relationship with himself until right now. And right now something is stirring on the inside of you that says, repent. Receive this repentance, this gift of God that allows you to live by the kingdom of heaven. So, for the believers, we're asking for God to speak to our heart. For the ones who want to respond to God calling you into salvation, this is your time. This is your time to talk to the Lord and hand yourself over to him. If you want to pray something like this, Lord, I'm done running. I hear you calling. I'm giving myself over to you. Whatever you feel. But let's pray for just a minute and ask the Lord what he would have to say to us. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, help us hear your voice.